Hallelujah. Mark 16:14, last week, first and second services, and then the first service this morning, we've been examining how to stay positive in a negative world. Say, I stay positive. In a negative world. And we said the world has his own thoughts. And the Bible tells in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, 14 says, awake thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you rest, light. The scripture has said, then it says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, discerning the will, what the will of the Lord is in 16. And then he says that, you know, walk circumspectly in these days that are evil, the world. And so as believers, we need to know how we must stay positive. That is, we said being positive means to stay with God's word in a negative world. A world that Jesus says in it, John 16:33, we have tribulations and trials. In John 12:31-33, he says, the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. In 1 Corinthians 2:7-6 says, Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God eat before the world to our glory, which none of these kings of this world knew, and they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the world is explained to us in scripture as that which doesn't have the Spirit of God. As you walk out of this auditorium, whether you go and drive your car, you are being driven, or you enter into a bus, or you enter into a taxi, you will have thoughts that come from this world. I explained a bit of that in the first service. And then we began to look at how we must stay positive. And I think we ended on the note of anxiety, remember? Anxiety, and we said anxiety is a sin. Amen. Worry is a sin. Say worry is a sin. Ask your neighbor, say, do you worry? That's like saying, do you sin, right? You know, when we say sin, the first thing that comes to people's minds are moral sins. That's the first thing. I said this in the first service, maybe I should say it again. That if somebody comes up and says, brethren, I have sinned. You start to say, this sister, I've been saying it. I've been thinking it. The way she wears her makeup, she can't, I knew she'd be struggling. She said, the sin was heavy. Really heavy. She said, is that sin? How many men? You know, that's what will come to your mind, because such a mind is warped. Then she says, you know, as I was being driven yesterday, the tire of the car got burst. And everybody was shouting, and I was screaming, I was scared. I was really scared. In fact, I was crying. You say, yes, what is the real? You are waiting for the real gist. Then I remember the word of God. That fear is a sin. What are we talking about? What are you talking about? I say sin, you are saying fear. Don't we have fear? Fear is a sin. Unbelief is a sin. Doubt is a sin. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So, we looked at that. Was anxiety. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, 26. Yeah, 25, sorry, 27, 28, 31, 34, twice. We said, Jesus says, take no thought, or why do you take thought? And then we made that distinction of caring and then worrying. You don't say, I don't care what we are going to eat in the house. Maybe your children say, Daddy, what are we going to eat today? Say, I don't care. The Bible says that you don't care. No, you are being stupid. Okay. What the Bible says when it speaks about don't take thought is don't be driven by it. Don't be carried by it. You're planning about the year, about the month, and you know, maybe I should add this. A new year, new birthday. Your birthday. You graduate from school, people naturally will place an expectation on you. In fact, if you are the kind that you have family meetings, they will summon you on the first. They will say, now, I remember one time like that. My dad and his sister, they were four siblings, so two of them had passed on then. So they were trying to do this family, they wanted us to know the extended family or cousins to meet well. So they would call each person to a room and they say, what are the things that are pinning you in your heart that you cannot tell anybody? And so I think all of them were coming in and telling them. And so when I got in, my dad looked at me. He knew, he's a crazy boy. Let me hear what he's about to say. And I was wondering. I said, so what's really on your heart? Then I spoke about everybody but myself. My aunt now said, you've spoken about others. What about you? My dad said, don't bother. He will not say anything about himself. That is what he has used his entire life for. So I said, but that's all I'm concerned about. And then he said, okay. We'll think about what you have said. So when we left, I told my cousin, so what are they now going to do about what you told them? You have just given them gist. So there's sometimes you pick your coat and tell people, all you have done is to cast your cares upon them, for they may not care for you. So you pour out your heart. Are you the mighty ocean? That I should pour my heart to you. What are you going to do about it? You know, so we need to be careful not to be driven by cares. You can care for things, care for family. Like we showed in 1 Corinthians 7 earlier on when the teachers are out, listen to it, that a husband cares for the wife for the husband, believers for one another, Philippians 2:20, 2 Corinthians 11, I think 28 by Paul. You care for other churches, but don't be driven by it such that you are distracted from the word. How do you know that has become worry? It is when you start to doubt the word of God. When you start to act outside the word of God. You know, there are people like that, they are praying. They are praying about something. And then you say, maybe they are praying about a job. And they are praying about a job. Then you tell them, well, you get the job. They say, I hope so. But they were shouting about it now. That means they are not praying, casting their cares. They are praying their cares. And so there are a couple of times like that, that you find yourself, you are actually worried. It's not, you don't have the positive care. You know, I told you in the morning, there's positive care. Where you are positive. Positive that, there's this need to be met. I'm walking towards it to meet the need. And, hey, how will this be done? Hey, the way it is going. I hope we'll have problems. So I hope we'll not die. If I'm in a box, for example, and the driver is too fast, I'll say, Oga, slow down. Do you get it? I don't say, don't kill me. No, you cannot kill me. Amen. And one of the things I do is when he's not listening, I'll say, I want to take something there. Then I will drop. That's positive care. In 1997, I think, there was this Okada guy that took me from Ikorodu garage. So he was going at the high speed. I was telling him. He didn't answer me. Hey, I was going. So I said, okay, hold on. Let's branch somewhere. So he branched. I didn't complain again. I said I wanted to talk to someone at the barracks. So he parked near the police station. So I called the police. This man wants to kill himself. Praise the Lord. That's positive care. Hope you are following what I'm saying. Hallelujah. It's positive care. So I said, Oga, let me drop. You can go in the strength of the spirit that is taking you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even the Lord Jesus Christ did not jump. Do you understand that? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord of glory. Who was, who is, and even is to come. If you had jumped, would he have come? So there's positive care. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Very good. So, but when you start getting driven, some people have gotten into relationships because of anxiety. He said, at my age, oh, hey, the clock of the woman is fast. That is told in my family that if you don't do this one, if we marry from this tribe, there will be problem. Anxiety. And my father's business, the first business he did. In fact, they locked up our house. Ah, business, so I don't want to do it. Share. Someone told me, he said, I'm afraid that if I start ministry, that I will go into error. I said, you will go into error. Ah, he said, sir. I said, because that's what you're afraid of. It's going to happen. I'm not afraid. Hallelujah. Years ago, I must have said it last week, I had this group of friends. We started out together. And so we used to pray. Now, I was a new person to the faith message. So I was always declaring scripture. In fact, some of my cousins then, they used to say somewhere in Bariga, they were angry at some point. Say, everything you say, you quote scripture. Are you okay? They'll say, who is standing there? I'll say, I don't know what to stand there for. Not me. Talking about somebody else. He said, ah, what are you wearing today? I said, the whole armor of God. Ephesians. I used to be very, very silly. You know. But I was just being very, very zealous. Okay, but watch what I'm about to say. So, of course, as I grew, I had this group of friends. And so we were together in ministry. So they will be praying. And I said, I'm not praying that prayer with you. Ah. Then they said, this brother, what I mean, why is a proud brother? He didn't tell it to my face. So I'm used to people saying things behind me. You know how many years I'm talking about? But I found out they were having a prayer meeting for me to take pride from my heart. Because I said, I will never fall. So I met them praying at Brother Bimbo's house. So I saw them all praying. In fact, one of them was kneeling down and said, Lord, touch his heart. Don't let me describe it for you. So I went there and I tapped him. Stop wasting your time. God is not listening to you. Pray for yourselves. They looked over and said, this guy is mad. You know why? Because I was never anxious. I knew whatever I put in God's hands, he was going to keep it. I wasn't going to keep any ministry. When some folks took away our ministry, then the ministry I began, and they said, no, I walked away. I didn't argue with them 1 minute. I just said, okay, it's now your ministry. They said, yes. Okay. And I went down the road to start another one. I wasn't going to fight. Whatever I put in God's hands, no one can take it. Amen. Don't be anxious. Praise God. Are you there? Don't be anxious. Anxiety is a sin. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. What is nothing? Nothing. Your kids will turn out fine. Hallelujah. And they will serve God. You have to be, sometimes, even your disciples, those that you groom in the Lord, they'll do things that are contrary, remain positive. That I know you are growing up a spiritual stalwart. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are full of positive thoughts. Don't say things that they were said to you when you were young. Is this how you want to do your life? Oh, look. I won't say it in Yoruba, but I can't say it well in English. They have born me. You born yourself. Something like this. So, Yorubas are very, very funny sayings. Let me tell you, you just destroy your life. No. Say, I know I brought you up well. And you live up to the training. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Particularly if those kids are born again. Say, I know you're a child of God and you're going to grow spiritually. And you're going to walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how to be positive. I know you must have read something about children's training. Children of nowadays. No. Your children are not nowadays. They are children of God. Hallelujah. Of nowadays. Which are these? Hallelujah. Stay positive. In a negative world. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? So don't be carried with anxiety. 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 So what will happen now? What will happen now? In 2 years, in 3 years, you are still in 2020. You are scared of 2025. What will happen now? Remember then, they used to ask us in ministers' conferences, what is your ministry projection in 10 years? I said, I don't have any. What is your ministry? You should have a plan by so and so period. I don't have any. I don't have such kids. Hallelujah. But I got the word of God. And I've got the Holy Ghost. And that's all now. Let's keep firing on. Hallelujah. So be it. No anxieties. Say, I've got no cares. I cast all my cares upon the Lord, for He cares for me. 1 Peter 5:7. You believe He cares for you? What about that? He cares for you. You know, we say that about people that love us, so that I know you love me. I know you care for me. Daddy, I know you care for me. Parents say to their kids, I know you care for me. Friends say to themselves. Employees to their employers. Students to their lecturers. But you know, it's actually God that cares for you. Hallelujah. I say it many times. This may hurt people, but I'll say it. Parental love, no matter how good it is selfish. Let me say it again. It's selfish. That is why, if you see your own son in a pit, another person's son in a pit, and you have just one chance to save one person, I'm sure you won't go for that other person. Why? Because it was not created by God. Because this one is affiliated to you. What would the world say? That the child of so-and-so. Selfish things. But you know, God's love is not selfish. It's not about Himself. God cares for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say, He cares for me. Say, He cares for me. You know, you can get up in the morning and say that. I cast all my cares. Today, Monday, January 13th, I cast all my cares. For He cares for me. I cast all my cares. I got no care of protection, safety. I cast all my cares. I've got no cares of harm against me. I cast all my cares because He cares for me. You know, it's funny. As you put on the radio in your car, you start hearing 14 dead. After saying, I cast all my cares. Then you raise the voice, I still cast all my cares. Hallelujah. Upon the Lord because He cares for me. Are you there? And so anxiety is a sin. Rather than be anxious, we said pray in the first service. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Supplication. Prayer. Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Be anxious for nothing. Thanksgiving. Give thanks. Give thanks. Come on, just spend a minute now and just give thanks. Just give thanks. Oh, come on, give thanks. You know you can give thanks. Just give thanks. Casting all your cares upon the Lord. For He cares for you. For He cares for you. Lift your hands and give thanks. Just give thanks. Your experiences may look funny, but the word of God prevails over it. Give thanks. Amen. You know, we said earlier that the new year, birthday, people have expectations. So what are you now going to do? You start getting worried. You start getting, why are you really worried? Because people are expecting from you. They expect at this time you should have a car, at this time you should have a house, at this time you should be married, have children, at this time you should have your own house, at this time you should do this one, at this time. And people push those expectations on you. But ease the pressure and cast your cares upon the Lord. He cares for you. Amen. And don't be drawn into anxiety because of people's expectations. You know, people develop diseases out of anxiety. People get sick out of anxiety. People have heart disease. People have stroke. People have, you know, a lot of diseases come with it. Why? Because it will demobilize your system. It will bring a disease into your system. So be full of thanks. Hallelujah. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. Push it out. In prayer, in thanksgiving, cast your cares. We're in a negative world where they keep predicting and keep predicting. People will be predicting. They'll just be making guesswork, accurate prediction, this and that. But the word of God prevails over all. I said the word of God prevails over all. I said the word of God prevails over all. Mark 16. Verse 14. Mark 16:14. Now, we said, this is before he asked them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 and sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of the heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. Now, we said in the first service, be quick to believe the word. See, I'm quick to believe God's word for me. Say it again. I'm quick to believe the word of God. These guys didn't believe. I'm quick to believe. Say again, I'm quick to believe the word of God over the reports of men. I'm quick to believe the word of God over my own experiences. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I believe the word easily. I don't think you said that well. I believe the word easily. What was Satan's first action in the earth? As God said. Satan hasn't grown cold on that. He has institutions that contradict the word. He has professors. Even as theologians, whose job is to say the Bible is not true. But I believe the word. I believe the word. Amen. So we said, the gospel therefore is not just what we believe when we got saved. The gospel is what we believe now. So the gospel is my thought line now. What God revealed in His Son Jesus is my thought now. I fill my mind with the gospel. I fill my thoughts with the gospel. Amen. So we said also earlier on that you can detect when you are going astray as a believer. Watch how you talk. Watch your responses to fearful thoughts. Also, we said, doubt and fear will, and anxiety will die unborn, except, come on, say it again, doubt and fear and anxiety will die unborn until they are spoken. So no matter the thoughts on your mind, it's a temptation, don't say it. Don't give it such authority. Don't put it on your Facebook. Don't think you're expressing yourself. Don't write it on your Twitter. That's not, put the word of God out. Don't express yourself. Don't say, no matter what I've gone through, even, well, all I've gone through, what are you going through? You have overcome. You have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Don't be real. Don't be real. Be Christian. Hallelujah. Your reality is the gospel. Say, my reality is the gospel. So the gospel becomes your lifestyle. Philippians 1 is our lifestyle today. And verse 27. Can we read it together? Philippians 1, 27. Let's go. Only, let's go. I'll wait for you. If you are there, say amen. If you are not there, say oh me. Let's wait for the oh me's. Alright, I guess we are there now. Philippians 1, 27. Let's go. Stop there. Take it again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let's go on. That whether I come and see you, or else be absent, hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Are you there? Let your conversation. The word conversation there is not how we say, you know what I said? We say, I had a conversation with you. That means we were talking. That's not the word here. The word here is an old word that has to do with citizenship. To live as a citizen. One who is comfortable in a country because he is born there. Politeuma in the Greek is a word there. P-O-L-I-T-E-U-O-M-A-I. P-O-L-I-T-E-U-O-M-A-I. Now, why do we oftentimes have to go to Greek words? Because most of the time, many of the times, and because in the last few years, I've been involved myself in Bible translations. And I know that oftentimes there's a gap in how those words are translated. Not for the fault of the translators. Now that I'm involved in translations, I have mercy on translators. Some of the times when I have to interpret text for those who I work with on Bible translations, sometimes on one text, it takes me sometimes days. And we're trying to make sure there's no gap between the original text and the language we are using now, which is English. So sometimes it's a wide one. So we should give kudos to them because they are helping us know God in the best way possible. Now, I did say this, that in the first, let me repeat myself. That in the days of Jesus, for example, the Hebrew Bible they had, when I say the Hebrew Bible, I mean Genesis to Malachi, much of what they were using was the Greek translation of it. Why? Because the Greek language was the predominant language at that time and the Aramaic. So oftentimes teachers of the days of Jesus then and even Paul will also now refer. In fact, when we get to some books of the New Testament, I'm going to show you where the writer left the Greek Old Testament and used the original Hebrew, and sometimes they revert back to the Greek where it translated very well. So even at the time of Jesus, they were using original languages to explain. There's no way anybody can explain scriptures without the use of original language. It is not possible. I can tell you that free of charge, because of the gaps that usually exist. It's not all the time you need it, but there are times you will, just like what we have seen here. Let your conversation, I'm sure if somebody reads this today, he'll just say, let your speech. But that's not what he's talking about. Conversation here is the word polythuma, like I mentioned, P-O-L-I-T-U-O-M-A-I. It is to live as a citizen. Acts 23 verse 1 will be where that word is equally used. Acts 23 verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. In other words, I have lived as a citizen. Now that word is from the word polites. P-O-L-I-T-E-S. Pay attention here. In Luke 15:15, it's used for the prodigal son story where those who lived as citizens. Luke 19:14, the citizens hated him. Acts 21:39. Oh yeah. Acts 21 39, just the one we read earlier. Acts 21, verse 39. Paul, I am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Sicilia, a citizen of no mean city. Hebrews 8:11. No one will say to his neighbor, know the Lord. The word neighbor, there is a fellow citizen. Now, which means when Philippians 1:27 says, let your conversation, that is, be comfortable living in the gospel, like a citizen of the gospel. I mean, like somebody born in the gospel. So the way, you know, the way you get into Nigeria, and maybe you are from, I remember one time like that, I went for a business meeting, a business trip in Guinea Conakry. And from the airport, because I went with the delegation, so from the airport till the, imagine from the airport, all I was hearing was French, and I didn't pay attention in primary school to French. In fact, I just didn't like it. That was the day I saw hell. And the strangest thing I saw, of course, we had meetings here and there, so we had to use translators. And my boss then, he could speak over 12 languages. So I used to call him 419. It was the only one in the hotel one day. He spoke to an Italian, a Frenchman, a German, and they all didn't know what he was telling each of them. I said, oh God, you are going to be 409. You know, very intelligent man. So they put me in an hotel, and the entire hotel was French speaking. So I was happy that, okay, let me watch CNN. That was the first time in my life that I saw there was CNN in French. I didn't know. I said, okay, let me watch CNN. I said, Malais, Pope, eh? And I saw CNN. I've seen that before. CNN French. I said, is there no English one? He said, no. Wow. That's strange. So I was so uncomfortable. So one day they said, there's one Nigerian. I said, what? I said, Nigerian place like that, that they were selling food. You know, I got to the place, very dirty. But I didn't mind. As soon as I saw a bar, and not be a goosey, I sat like it's pulling to me. I said, yes now. The guy said, and I saw flies. Normally if I go, I won't eat. But, eh? I just put the fly inside and wait it. Because one of the meals I ate one day, they said, do you know what you are eating? I said, I don't know. They said, shobo. Shobo is actually monkey. I'm eating it now. So when I saw Eba and Egusi, I said, can I carry some to the hotel? You know, I want you to leave places like that. As soon as you get into Nigeria, you start speaking your language. Oh boy, I know. You know, you start feeling that is living as a citizen. Now, Paul is saying, live as a citizen of the gospel. Let the gospel be how you live. Be comfortable. So just like I was in that country, in the world and among those who are in the world, you are a stranger. But with the gospel, you are a citizen. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, can you see that word again? Is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when it says our conversation, is another word there, but similar to the one we read earlier, is the word politeuma, politeuma. Now, let me explain that. You know, this, it looks like it's the same word. It's not the same word. The first one is how you conduct yourself. Living like it. Since the second one here is, pay attention, like the governance of a city. When, for example, if you say, where is Nigeria ruled from? You say, Aso Rock. Or Aso Villa. Lagos State, you say the Lagos House or something like that. Where is the war ruled from? White House. You don't believe it? You should have believed it by now. The whole world is ruled by White House. Irrespective of who is there. The whole world. So, that's the word he uses here, that where a city is governed from. So he's saying here that the governance of our lives is heavenly. That's basically what he's saying. Not a distance, rather a distinction of how we live our lives on earth. Colossians 3:1 says that seek those things that are above if you are risen with Christ. Ephesians 2:5 says he has quickened us together with Jesus, raised us up and made us to sit in Christ Jesus in the heavenly. So the use of heaven here is to distinguish the believer from the world. It is not what is going to happen at the end of your life. No. Heaven is not the end of the world. How does that sound? It simply means how God governs our lives on earth by His Spirit. So in Matthew 16 verse 17 and 18, when Jesus says to Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever things you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever things you lose on earth is loose in heaven. That's what is implied here. In other words, you will walk in the Spirit. You will be influenced by the Spirit, which is not of this earth. And whatever you do in the earth by the Spirit is of the Spirit of God. That's basically what that means. So in other words, the governance of our lives on earth today is heavenly. Heaven, therefore, is the atmosphere of the gospel. Our conversation, or better still, our conduct must bear our functions and offices on earth. We are all believers. And Paul is saying here, let your conduct be the same as the message that you have believed. Let's look at our conduct on earth. Our conduct on earth will be our thought pattern, right? Come on. Our speech, okay? The way we think. The way we reason. I can reason as a Yoruba man now, as an Igbo man, as an Hausa man, as a French man, as a Greek person, as a German person, but I need to realize that that is not the gospel. I have to reason, I have to see the gospel as a culture. The gospel as a culture. And so I must reason with the gospel. And so this is the point. Where I discover that my natural culture, whether I'm English, whether I'm Scottish, whether I'm British, or whether I'm French, where I discover that he conflicts with the Word of God, I have the duty, alright, to stay with the gospel. That means my culture is negative to the gospel. And I must reform how I think. Looking at staying positive in a negative world, a world that is negative towards the gospel. Let me add this. It means that our behavior must bear our office. We are all preachers of the gospel by the new birth. So God's good news must be found in our conduct. My good conduct is from the good news. Say, my good conduct is from the good news. The good news is the gospel of Jesus. So the gospel is not just you going for evangelism. Let me ask you. Imagine, you know, when you go for evangelism, I know how you do it here. You go, you smile, you share about Jesus. You want people to see God as the one who sends Jesus to die for their sins. You want them to see themselves in the eyes of the gospel when you're preaching. Am I right? Am I correct? Now, imagine if you don't make that an event. Imagine if you make it a lifestyle. That is, even if you see the vilest of offenders, you see the craziest of men, you will still with them preach the gospel in your conduct towards them. Now, the world may look very, very negative. Now, I'll tell you something. And years ago, I hadn't had as much insight as I have. I'm still growing, so trust God for more, very much more. But we used to have this with, was started by my leader then, Reverend Frank Akelakwa. We used to work together in African Invasion Mission. So we had this mission towards prostitutes between 94 and thereabout, yeah. So one of the things he said that registered in my heart, he said, even if you're talking to a thug, an iron killer, assassin, all those guys, he said, see them through the gospel. That is how you can reach them. You know, my very first encounter, because usually we'll go and then do the evangelism, get into the hotel, and all of that. I remember one of the brethren that went with us, they were pulling him, you know, you're good for evangelism. I said, no, you are coming with us. Yeah. Come and do. But I was scared. I said, why are you scared? What are you going to do? So I got into the room, and I saw this lady. She was actually like the boss. And I saw her through the gospel. Somehow, I saw someone that was going to preach the gospel. Because she got, at some point, she got very nasty. She said, what are you? I said, don't worry, I bought that money, I paid that upfront. So I said, now let me talk. You know, within a few months, barely 9 months, she became, I'm not saying this is always correct, but she became the head of department in a church in town. But I've seen it. Now, I wasn't going to mention her name or the church. Let's go and find out. So people have a way of finding details. They just cross the T, see? I'm not going to mention the place. See? Which place, which church can have in 1990? What year did you mention? 90? Okay, yeah, 90. Now that I read your Bible, that's why I read all over the place. You get it. But the truth is, that was through the eyes. I've seen people. In fact, I know persons in this church who, if you knew what they were before they received Christ, you might not sit next to them in the next service. But how are they where they are today? Because they were seen through the eyes of the gospel. Now let's get back to this. Imagine if that's how you conduct your life. In other words, you are not going to use the words of the media to have conversations. You are not going to be using things you read on Instagram to talk. No, you won't. A fellow asked me a question one time. He said, what do you think about the legislation against gays? And those who are, I said, being a gay is a sin. It's obviously an immoral behavior. It's totally not scriptural, right? I said, but making a law will only strengthen it. So when I go for evangelism, I don't see gays. I see men that Jesus died for. You know? So I said, all you grace preachers. Rubbish. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. I told a fellow one time, I said, he was going to expose somebody. Say, we are going to expose him. We are going to expose her. Blah, 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 blah. I said, if this fellow was your daughter, will you expose her? You won't do it. You only say you want to expose people because they are not close to you. Or they are close to you, but you don't want to be close to them. But if it comes nearer home, you feel disappointed. But you say, you know, let's just handle this as a family. Is that not what we say? It's painful, but as a family. Hallelujah. That is your conversation that becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do you think Jesus will sit down with those who everybody thinks they are crazy? those who were prostitutes. Jesus was sitting down with prostitutes. You know what a prostitute is? Forget the Greek word. A prostitute is someone who is paid for sex. And Jesus had them sit down beside him. And he drove away the preachers. Sorry, Pharisees. He drove them away. There are some of us, if we drop you in the midst of people smoking him, that is, I hope the rapture will not happen now. Now, I'm not asking you to marry them. I said, Pastor, thank you. You are just giving me the word I've been looking for since I joined Saints Community Church. Hallelujah. See, I behave the gospel. See, I behave the gospel. So your thoughts. People are talking about somebody. Kill him. Kill him. You know, those who believe the gospel don't say kill him. Ah. He that kills must die. You are a hypocrite. If that was done to you, you will not be alive. But I've not killed anybody. The Bible says if you hate anyone, it's a sin of murder. I've never hated anybody before. I've heard you. So let your conduct be positive. The vilest offender is a candidate of salvation. Are you following my point? Don't be found bringing people down. Not in your office. Not in your school. Not in your family. Let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel. The gospel is good news. Say, I bear the good news. Say, I bear the good news. Look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Glory to God. I'm positive in this world. The negative spirit of the world has no hold over me. I dare to be different. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Higgin told a story that I won't forget. He said there was one guy, that the guy was known for always walking in love. That if everybody is going the way of hatred, the man will go the way of love. So there was now one fellow who was a hired assassin in the town. The guy had killed many people. So people were looking for this guy. And so they got a hold of him. So of course, around town, people were talking about this hired killer, assassin. He's a horrible guy. The guy is a beast. The guy is a monster. They now went to this guy, who is known for always walking in love. So what do you have to say about that killer? He said, he was quiet for a while. He didn't say anything. He has a great nose. He said, you will never find him say anything negative. So, that's a great news. Well, that's what I saw. You know, you can actually start seeing things that way. And you will not be wrong. You may look different. Amen. But you have just stayed away from the negative spirit in the world today. I stay positive in God's word. Verse 44. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Have you ever prayed for your wicked boss before without saying, Lord, touch his heart so he sends my salary? Have you tried to pray for that fellow who made things difficult for you without saying, Lord, let your judgment rise upon him now? In Luke chapter 6, it says, bless them, verse 28, that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. 29, when they smite you on one cheek, offer the other. To him that takes away your cloak, forgive him not your cloak. This is how the Heavenly Father is. And this is exactly what the gospel is about. The world says you fight for your rights. Love does not insist on his own. That's quite different. But that is the gospel. So in a negative world, alright, we must choose to be on the offensive with the word of God. Let's get into details. One of the ways you can live the word is to train your words with the word. Train your word with the gospel. You know the way you know how to speak a language, and then you get to a place and they say, well, this is car, moto, this is a house, ile, that's Yoruba now, and this one, and you say, ekaro, ekason, that's good morning, good afternoon. You know, you are learning the language. You can also learn the language of the gospel. Learn it. Don't just be saying it in church. Hallelujah, glory. That's also good. Glory, hallelujah, Sunday. Hey, 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 hey. But in everyday life, is your language the language of the gospel? You must learn it. In James chapter 3 and verse 1, one of the things the gospel does to us, the gospel restrains how we talk, controls how we talk. There is no talkative that is walking in the spirit. Let me say it again. There is nobody who speaks his mind all the time that can walk in the spirit. There is no loose talker who walks in the spirit. You know why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is patience. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And the works of the flesh is loquaciousness. To talk without control. You cannot walk in the Spirit and always say your mind. Because you ought to renew your mind. Romans 12 and 2. Ephesians 4 and 22 and 23. So it's not possible. You ought to have a sober mind. You ought to be swift to hear, slow to speak, James 1:19. I know the world likes people who say their mind. They say they're freedom fighters. They say what is in their mind. They share this word. They learn this word. They say, exactly. This is what we need. But 1 Peter 2:21 says we have an example in Jesus Christ who left us an example to follow, pardon me, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. There was no guile found in his mouth. Your example is not Martin Luther King. Your example is not Buhari. Your example is not a politician. Your example is not Donald Trump. Your example is not Usain Bolt. Your example is not Mariah Carey. Your example is not Bill Gates. Your example is Jesus Christ. That's your example. Your example is not Bafemi Awolowo. Your example is not Gani Faremi. Your example is not Sowore. Your example, yeah. Your example is the Lord Jesus Christ. So even while you have earthly models, because if you are going to be a lawyer, you can't take Jesus. You just say there's no condemnation. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are going to be a trader, you just say take all you have and give. Your business is going to go down. But in your career, you can see the application of the conduct of Jesus Christ in how you treat men. How you treat men will show me how you see the gospel. And so you must be positive in a world of rage and anger. You know, I was going to find a way to talk about this because one of those, I had to do this. But I began to look at the recent issue between Iran and America and something amazed me, and I was sad at the same time bewildered, and how Iran admitted that they mistakenly, and I knew they weren't lying, they mistakenly shot down a jet of a plane that was coming from Ukraine, or was going to Ukraine, with one, I forgot which one. And the most of the people in the plane were Iranians. Why? They were angry. And I sat back and said, anger can be destructive. You won't think through what you are saying and what you are doing. You want to take your pound of flesh and they now kill their own citizens. And I said to myself, anger is destructive. You can destroy ministries, families, friends, relationships. Sometimes you won't even know the consequence. I've told you before, many times you know the beginning, you can't tell the end. What about not saying anything? Sometimes you can delay your response a day, 2-3 days. Sometimes you find out you have no response at all. But there's ego. And you know, there are people fighting all over social media. They have blogs telling you, stand up, say this one. And they program how you talk. Before you know it, the spirit that is in this world is dictating how you are thinking. But we are born of God. We are born of God. We are born of God. I stay positive in this negative world. I'm full of God's word. You want to respond? You want to? I mean, I'll give you a piece of my mind. And the piece of my mind is devilish. And so, I just found out, how can you? And they just, boom! And you know what? 162 lives are gone. Apologies can't bring them back. There are things that apologies cannot undo. I think I shared this to you with you before. Because I'd seen my dad getting fits of anger, I didn't know I picked it up. I didn't know. I was in the ministry years before I discovered it. I now discovered that what I was doing was what I saw growing up. So I went into the world. I'm still in the world. Meditating. Because I've seen it. Oftentimes we reproduce the things we criticize if we don't deal with them personally by the word. That's the exact thing you are going to do. You know why? Because that is what you saw. I mean, I said, I had to see this as a preacher. I said, what am I seeing? This was what I saw in my dad. And he told me he saw it in his elder brother. People will call it generational. It's not, it's just what you saw. I've told you, we are all a product of what? Influence. The way you answered now, you are influenced. The way you are sitting, the way you are dressing, don't say, this is how, no, you saw it. Which, even in your name says you were given, you are influenced. The way you walk, the way you talk. So, check what influences you. Ensure you stay with God's positive word in this negative world. Are you with me? James 3 and 1. Learning something? Come on guys, are you learning something? James 3 and 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That is, don't try to be a teacher takes the greatest condemnation, better still the greatest judgment. Let's take verse 2 together. Let's go. In many things, let's go, come on. James 3, let's go. But in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and also able to what? If you don't stumble, that's the word offend. P-T-A-I-O in the Greek. P-T-I-O. It means to stumble. In Romans 11:11 talks about Jews and Gentiles. In James 2:10, whosoever shall keep the law and yet offending one is guilty of all. The word means to stumble at one. Now this word has to do with something you can't keep. In other words, you need to learn how to control your mouth. Your mouth is not just for eating. Write that down. Neither is it for applying makeup. Amen? Mm-hmm. Your mouth is for speaking words. And words govern our lives. So after you have applied makeup, after you have eaten mountains, or after you are taking mountains in, please now work on what comes out of it. He says, if we don't stumble in words, we won't stumble on anything. He says, rather we bridle. The word bridle here is the Greek word chalinagogi. I'll spell it for you. C-H-A-L-I-N-A-G-O-G-E-O. C-H-A-L-I-N-A-G-O-G-E-O. It means to lead, to be in control of. It's taken from how horses are controlled. You see it in James 3:3. The bits, chalinos, the bits put in the mouth of horses. Look up, everybody. Do like this. Everybody, please. You are a Christian. That is how you should use your words. Put your hands down. Always have control over what comes out. You know you can't control what comes to your ears. Of course, you can in a sense. You can put up the TV. But people will say whatever they say. People will say whatever. See, people will say whatever they will say. But you know what? You can choose what you don't say. Which means I should think before I talk. I should think. I should be slow. I should put control on how I talk. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 15, he said, a man is not defiled by what he eats. He's defiled by what comes out of his mouth. Sorry. So you look at the kind of things that you allow. Now, don't forget, I said in the first service, you can control your speech by first controlling your thoughts. I've seen some of you sometimes when we're talking, I said, look, your imaginations are going too far. You start getting nasty, suspicious, hurty. You've allowed thoughts to grow. No. Before the thought grows, put control with your words. That's not who I am. I am not going to live in anxiety. I'm not going to live in doubts, suspicions, evil surmisings. No. My imaginations will not run me wild. I will be full of the word of God. Pay attention. And so I must learn to do this. There's gist in the office. You should know when it has become backbiting. You should know when now this is evil speaking. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we're discussing the doctrine, someone on the phone, and then the person raised an issue and said, no. We're talking doctrine. Now you are talking about a person. I said, that is now evil speaking. I said, well, that's true. I said, thank you. I said, no. You are now talking about a person and saying destructive things. Mm-mm. That's no longer Bible doctrine. You have crossed the line. Hallelujah. So you should put a check to what you are saying. Let me add this. This is not just about in church, because some of us think it's just in church where we all play brethren, because in church we all have this touchy feeling. So everybody is just behaving like we're in heaven. They say, ah, amen, bless you, hallelujah. Ah, it was a great service. Oh, thank God. Then in the car. If from there you start dealing with your children. And then you know, don't take nonsense, though. Praise the Lord. Somebody said this last week and I laughed. He said, you are fasting. And you can get this bitter and angry. Go and eat. I kind of laughed. Really, it's true. If you are fasting this much, and you are this bitter and angry, let me get you a bowl of eba. Eat and be fine. Because you are wasting your time. The essence of fasting is self-control. You see, that's fasting that some of us will watch the best movies. So that you keep up the time. You see, that fasting, remember when I used to fast in secondary school? It was like they were punishing me. So, I would go to the butchery, and I would buy rice, yam, beans, and I would store it just till 5 or 6 o'clock. And I would open it small, small. You are not fasting again now. That is delaying gratification. That's what they have just done. So if you are fasting, use that period to control yourself. To control how you eat, how you talk. I've not asked you to start walking like this. Bro, you are fasting. Bless God. Thou seest it. No. That's hypocritical. So, not just in church, in the office, in your family. When, for some of us who grew up in polygamous homes, let me say this one. As I said before, I stopped saying, I'm saying it again. You have a tendency in walking in strife. You were born with it. You have to, if people walk 100 meters to walk against strife, you do 2,000 meters. Because that is the atmosphere. Eh? What? Yes, eh? Eh? You heard him say it. Okay. If they give you food, don't eat it too. Do you understand? They give you something, your mother will pray over. Your father got it for you. Pray every father. Every matching, you grew up seeing things like that. Seeing enemies, people are after you, and all that. You will grow up in strife. People are always after you. You'll be proving a point. You'll be trying to escape enemies. You have to renew your mind. Is that okay? You are now born again. You are a child of God. A child of God. Hallelujah. So you have to practice walking in the spirit extra. Amen? Amen? How about Jesus? And that's it. Thank you. Extra. Because you have seen it. You have heard words. You have heard things that maybe your mom will not pour out things that your father did to her in 1959. It's because of you children. That's why I'm here. She knows I really love you. And then you have, you know, selfishness, division, and stuff like that in your mind. My mom did try to do that. She found out I was not penetrable. I said, it's not my business. You are married. Did I marry you? She said, no. You married him now. Me, I'm just a product of what you guys did. And I have my own life to live. Simple. That was what I told both of them. I mean, I said it in their presence and in their absence. So there was no need for gist. My daughter would say, if Google tell you anything, you do anything about it. I said, so you know. Do you get it? Because you have to block your mind from such thoughts. You will grow up that way and have an ideology that is built in division and strife. So I walk in the spirit. I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I stay positive in a negative world. I bridle my tongue. I control what comes out of my mouth. Romans 12:21 says, don't be overcome with evil, overcome evil with good. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it, they eat the fruit thereof. My words matter. Say, my words matter. You know, you got born again by confessing God's word. You yielded to the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues. Why would you think your words don't matter? How do you preach? Do you preach the gospel by eye contact? You speak. You know, when it comes to healing the sick, you also talk. Come on. You talk, you got born again. You talked, you spoke in tongues. You talked, you were filled with the Spirit. You talked, somebody got saved. You talked, somebody got healed. Put control on your words. Hallelujah. Put control on your words. When you got people born again, did you tell them what was on your mind? If you told sinners what was on your mind, this church will be half empty. Because, I pity you. But you told them what was on God's mind. Amen. Now imagine making that a lifestyle. A lifestyle. You know your words matter. Your words matter. Oh. Praise God. Imagine in your home, your words matter. Among your friends, your words matter. Hallelujah. What if you got to know that if you say, whatever you say about your friends will come to pass, how would you be talking to them and about them? That they will rise up to become what you have said. But you know that comes to pass too. Amen. No matter what is going on, stay positive. Don't let the world squeeze you. Romans 12:2, into his own mold. Transform your mind by the renewing of your mind. Are you in church? So, don't speak anxiety. Don't speak fear. Don't speak doubt. Look at Numbers 13. Do you know that you should know that you can also be responsible for how anxiety and fear, you know, feel an atmosphere? You can choose to stop the flow of anxiety or negative thoughts anywhere you are. Look at that Numbers 13. I showed you something in the morning. There were 12 spies, right? Come on. 12. 10 spoke contrary to the word. 2 spoke the word. Now, logically, who appears right? The 10. Because that's democracy. There are 10 folks, I mean. And I told you in the morning, imagine the 2 spies that spoke rightly. Joshua, young boy. Caleb, old man. One is suffering from old age. The other one is youthful exuberance. And that's logic. These are balanced guys. They are balanced. They said, we saw the land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's great and all that. But, that's balance. That's balance. I mean, thank God for your life. You're very balanced. You know, one extreme person, very balanced. You know what they did? Pay attention. They brought a report, and 10 people made 3 million people say the same thing. If they have Instagram accounts, Facebook posts, come on, TV programs, it became the popular view of the land. Do you know for how many years? 40 years. Now, which means that you and I should be careful of, you and I should watch the kinds of influences that we put out. Don't spread fear in your home. Don't spread fear in your ministry. Don't spread fear in your family. Don't spread fear in your office. This company is going to go down. Let it not come from the lips of a believer. Did you hear me? The way this company is going, I'm sure by the end of this year, I will go bankrupt. The same person now gets up in the morning. Good morning, Jesus. I know you come from heaven above. Go sit down. Let them say, oh, it's coming. I say, by the power of God, we trust God. Things are going to get better. Amen. You know what it means for a company to go down? Do you know how many people are living with? Who are living with? Living with? Do you know the salary of one person? Do you know how many people are on top of it? Do you know how many hospitals will have new patients? Why not stay positive? Will you kill anybody if you are positive? No. How can you? The same person say, is the word. After saying Greek and Hebrew and Latin and Yoruba translation. They now say something negative. Say, eh? I was saying it. Wow. Abba. Let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Stay positive. Amen. Hallelujah. You led prayer in the morning. You led prayer in the afternoon. And you are the one feeling doubts in the evening. Act on the word. Praise God. 10 people made 3 million people. All night weeping. 40 days of hardness of the heart. 40 years, sorry. And they were coaching them. You know, someone is going to coach you now. They coach you by saying, for saying something negative. That brother, thank God for him. He told us, we gave ourselves brain. Thank God for him. Word of God is not true. Thank God for him. It's a blessing to the body. I'm a witness of the gospel. I stand for the gospel. I preach the gospel. I speak the gospel. I act on the gospel. Hallelujah. Flood your environment with the word of God. In your conduct, in your speech, in your jokes, everything. Flood the whole place with the word. Hallelujah. The sick will get healed in your office. Those who are depressed will be set free. No one will commit suicide around you. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I'm saying? People will see God's love when you talk. There will be not one single person die of depression around you. Because you bear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where people are hopeless, you give them the hope that is found in Jesus. You will not spread negative thoughts in your world. Hallelujah. You put out the word of God. Fear will be found nowhere around you. Anxiety will lose its hold all over you. Because you are full of God's word. Put it out. Put it out. My mom told me a story. She said when she was in a particular theater, that they just agreed. I don't know for how long. Can you remember how long she told? Is it a year or two? They just agreed that nobody will die. You know that story? That nobody is going to die. They just agreed. Said nobody died. They were church Christians from different churches. Though. They said, all of them are Christians. Said nobody is going to die in this place. And they did. Amen. So anytime they bring somebody that is almost at the point of, they say, we believe God. You start praying. We believe God. The person will come back to life. Hallelujah. You know, you can be that positive. Christians should not be the one spreading evil reports. You know, that's not you. You are a preacher of the gospel. Hallelujah. One more thing, then we close from there. You know, another thing we have to watch with the way we speak. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. You learning something? I'm going to hear testimonies from your offices, from your schools, from your families, how you spread positive things. Imagine them saying that anytime Kunle is around, if we are feeling sad, we all just get happy. He just has something about him, the way he puts out the word of God. That is your testimony. Amen. Amen. Not the person that analyzes the problems of Nigeria. And when everybody is done, he says, so what do we do? Go and die. You know, one of the things I tell leaders in church here, and I've been working on them for years, is don't pass a problem. If a problem comes, know what the problem is. When you are going to talk to me, tell me you have found a solution. Be positive. We are not despondent. We are not hopeless people. We don't pass hopelessness around. Are you there? We know all things are possible to him that believes. We know God's power is working. So we don't, even when we have disappointment, we stay positive. Don't pass a negative thing across to me. Say, well, this has happened, but Pastor, we prayed about it, and this is what we're doing. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Exactly. Hallelujah. Be positive. Amen. Be positive. Ephesians 4:29. You learning something? Let's read it together. Let no Let's take it again. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister what? The word corrupt is something that is bad or makes others bad. It's the word in the Greek, sepo. It means to make things bad. It means don't make your words make people look bad. You see that word in Matthew 7:17-18, Matthew 12:33, and Matthew 12:48, used for trees. Make the tree evil or make the tree bad. It says, let not such things that would destroy others. That's what corrupt communication. Let it not destroy others. Something I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and I won't forget this. Now, he spoke about a minister who he was a resident pastor of a church that he knew, the general overseer. So if he goes to preach, the guy will always treat him badly. And so someone said, report him to the general overseer. He said, then what will happen? They're going to remove him. He said, no, I don't want to be part of his downfall. He said, well, I'm not saying one day somebody will not do it, but I don't want my name to be in that book. I learned something from that. Do people reap what they sow? Maybe, but not through me. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth. Don't destroy people by the things that you say. Rather, he says, but that which is good to the use of edifying. I like this, the way the Greek is. It says agathos. Agathos is what is good in itself. Agathos pros oikodomien. That is, build people up by the grace of God. Say, I build people up. Raise your hand. Say, I build people up. Say, I build people. I don't destroy people. Say, I build people. I don't destroy people. Amen. You're going to build people up this year. Amen. Those who are down, who are broken down, you raise them. Amen. You're not going to corrupt them. You're not going to make them bad. Praise God. You know, I edify people. I build them up. I raise them up. I establish them in the word of God. Hallelujah. He said, let it be that which is good to the use of edifying. By the grace of God. Hallelujah. Again, that means I can control what I say. I can control it. To others, I can control it. I minister grace. Can you see it? I thought we only minister grace when we are preaching. No. I can minister grace in a board meeting. I can minister grace in a staff meeting. I can minister grace in a tutorial. I can minister grace in a hot family meeting. Extended, and everybody is throwing tantrums. I can minister grace. I can minister grace when everybody's hungry. Hallelujah. I can. I've seen people who were on the verge of taking their lives. Just because I spoke to them, they changed their minds. I'm not talking about 10 people. And I'm talking about someone that I can point to at least 25 years. And I'm wondering, what if I said something else? Many times, I was telling someone last night, we're talking about prayer, Pastor Gilbert in Ghana. Was it this morning? And then we said last night. And he said, he read because I prayed. And he said, Pastor Chris, I don't think we have understood prayer. And I said this. I said, I don't believe God has done anything in the earth outside of prayer. Oftentimes, we just didn't know. If you knew that someone's prayer is why you are here now, you will pray more. You may not even know who the person is. I said, it will take eternity to know who did what. It will take eternity to know who did what. Sometimes when things happen to people, you may not know that something you said. You just said out of anger. You just said it carelessly. And then that was it. So if you knew that now, if you know that now, watch what you say. Don't say what they are saying on the internet. Say what God is saying. And God might not be popular. You know, you can call somebody evil and then you won't say it. And what you are saying is not popular. We are ministering the grace of God. Hallelujah. I minister the grace of God. So it's not just evangelism. So see yourself as an evangelist 24 hours a day. Are you there? Who's following what I'm saying this afternoon? You preach the gospel 24 hours a day. 24. You preach the gospel to your husband, to your children, to your wife, to your cousins. You preach the gospel to your neighbors. You are just carrying the gospel. Your countenance is full of the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm filled with the thoughts of God. Let's see one last one. Ephesians 5. And verse 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Can you see how many things we're talking about? What? Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. The word filthiness means obscenities. Aischortes in the Greek. Aischortes. Aischortes. It means what is not decent. You know, we live in a world that people magnify indecency. They dress that way. It's fashionable now to expose your cleavage, to expose your underwears. So somebody dressed one day, I said, are you going to the bathroom? You see men pull their jeans down. You see people say, I'm a Malian. No, hold on, don't laugh. Do you know that influence is subtle? For you, it's just music. No, it's not just music. Music that has filthy words will infect your mind with filthy thoughts. Hallelujah. I tell people oftentimes, like my friend used to say, if you're born again, it's not well born. Stay off secular music. If it's not well born again. You know, by mounting, I'm a word person. I'm saying you yourself, you know, you're born again has not been well born. It's almost still born. What I'm saying is that if you are not strong spiritually, there are certain things you can stay off for your spiritual health. It says indecent speaking. A filthiness in your words. There is this foolish talking. Morologia. In the Greek. Look at the last thing it says. Nor jesting. Now the word jesting here is the word eutrapia. I'll spell it for you. Eutrapelia. Eutrapelia is used for coarse jokes. Jokes, humor that is indecent. You know, if you are a famous comedian today, it's oftentimes because you speak indecent things. Even music. You have to say, you know, new slangs, terrible things. There's nothing wrong in using slangs. The Bible is full of slangs. Slangs just means a common saying, you know, that's colloquial. But you can also have obscene ones. How can a Christian be using F word? Let me say it. I have never used the F word before. Not even as, for what? Don't use words that are obscene. Indecent. Some of us, just a holiday in America. You're born again as not born well. Just to go to the United Kingdom. You just passed through the airport. So I say, you know, when I was abroad, then you are influenced. You get around, maybe you went, you graduated from school, you were a very fervent believer. You'll be found in chapel, praying, fasting, evangelism, follow up, discipleship, heavenly citizen. Then you got a job, an oil company. Then you start seeing people that are there, you know, different people, you know, and, you know, everybody is now relaxed, everybody talks. You know, you might want to feel a monk. That means your born again is not born enough. Let your light so shine before men. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've worked with people who are internationally recognized. And when they get to no, Shekou is here, don't let's talk. How can they make a joke and say, it's not me now, you guys, you know I'm a Christian, no. Yeah? Oh boy, you have crossed over. Let's begin to close here. Coarse jesting, wrong humor, which are not convenient. The word convenient there means it's not fitting. An echo in the Greek. You find in Colossians 3:18, which is not fit, is not proper. Colossians 3:18, for a saint, is not fit. Philemon 8. That which is convenient, proper. Hallelujah. Is it wrong to be sarcastic, make jokes? No. It's not. Humor. Humor is even part of Bible communication. But humor must be guarded. Humor that celebrates sickness, immorality, fear, doubt, worry. Humor that celebrates unbelief, anxiety. No. We can humor ourselves. Amen. I like humor a whole lot. I mean, my dad was known to be a humorous person. He used to be an MC in many places, you know. So I grew up having him tell me both his dry jokes, Amatan jokes, and, you know, even though he was very strict. We have to watch what you say. Watch your YouTube, watch your Netflix, watch your all those things. You have sufficient. Darkness has covered the earth. God nurtures his people. But we have the light of God's word. We must watch what we joke about and the jokes that we celebrate. It says, coarse jesting, which are not convenient, rather giving of thanks. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm full of God's word. I'm full of God's word. Praise God. Bow your heads, just pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Just bow your heads, pray in tongues.